So, I would like to give today a very special lecture, special in the sense that it's about a very nice subject matter. I don't know if you have noticed, I believe yesterday or the day before yesterday, when exactly Damodapriya was Snan Yatra? Today. Snan means bath, and Yatra a festival. It's a bathing festival of Lord Jagannath. Today, Lord Jagannath has appeared, and on his birthday, we are giving him an Abhishek or a festival. Today also was a day where we visited the Jagannath deities of Malati Manjari. And if you wish to see them, please throw yourself before Malati Manjari's lotus feet and request her for a darshan. She has very, very beautiful Jagannath deities. And I would like to discuss today a little bit about Lord Jagannath and Jagannath Puri. May I ask you, who of you was in Jagannath Puri up till now, please? Oh, that's many devotees. Wonderful. Ram Gopal, ne? Noch nicht? Das muss letztens nachgeholt werden. Jagannath Puri is actually known in our Krishna conscious language as Vipralamba Chetra. It's a place where Lord Krishna very strongly feels the desire to go to Vrindavan. It's a very, very strong desire, and once a year he fulfills that desire by leaving his opulent temple, which represents Dvaraka Dham, and then going to Gundicha, a little forest-like garden at the end of the Grand Road. You know, when Lord Krishna was sleeping in Dvaraka in his opulent beds, he would sometimes murmur in his sleep, Rate, Rate, Rate. His queens, who were with him at that time, were asking, who is this Radhe? Imagine any husband in this world who would all of a sudden in his sleep mention the name of someone who is unknown to his wife. It is a cause of great concern for the wife. Who is this other lady? And she would be very interested to find out. Once the queens of Dvaraka had actually a meeting between themselves, and they were asking, does in the night Krishna speak sometimes? The other queen says, yes, he often speaks in the night, and when he wakes up, he has cried tears. Oh, said Satyabhama to Rukmini, in my case, he also constantly sleeps in his, he speaks in his dream. Sometimes my lord he calls out in a loud voice, where is my flute? And then begins to cry. This is a great secret. We must find out who is this Radharani or Radhe, and what is this with the flute? We never experience our husband as being extremely musical. We did not know this. So they decided to ask Rohini, who was with Lord Krishna before Krishna married all the Dwarka Mahishis, the queens of Dwarka. And they asked Rohini, Rohini, please tell us, what is this? He calls out, where's my flute, 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 in the night, and then says, Radhe, Radhe, and then he cries, what is the meaning behind this? Rohini said, oh, now you have asked something very deep. That's a very difficult question. I can answer this question, but I have one condition. Krishna cannot come and listen to this, because if Krishna comes while I answer your question, I will lose my concept. Because what will happen when Krishna comes and hears me answering your question, he will start crying. So the only way is to do like this. We go into the interior of the palace, and then one lady must stand before the door and guard the door, so that under no circumstance Krishna and also his elder brother Balaram come while I answer your question. This gets now extremely interesting. And just let us imagine Manjulali would one day call Saranandi and say, Saranandi, I will say something to you, but it is so extremely confidential that we must guard the doors. And they would get the idea to put the strong Adya, who is in charge of fist fighting, before the door. It was a very amazing subject. So they decided to take Krishna's own sister, who's quite influential. I mean, Krishna does whatever he wants, but he will most probably listen a little bit to his sister Subhadra. They ask Subhadra, you stand before the door, and the moment Krishna comes, you just say, go somewhere else. This is there's some woman discussion, woman istagosti going on. You please, it's not your place, really. So this was arranged, and then Mother Rohini sat down, and they all sat down, and they all said one question: who is this Radha? Mother Rohini started to cry, because she was actually present when Lord Krishna and Lord Balaram were in Vrindavan. Yes. She had been sent by Vasudev to be a guest to Nanda and Yashoda, and she had actually given birth there to Lord Balaram. So she knew all about these beautiful pastimes of Lord Krishna in Vrindavan. And she started to tell. And then Subhadra was outside. And then, you know, one day, Krishna, when he was still around 8 years old, he told the Brajbasis they should not offer their sacrifice to Indra, but to the hill. We all thought, this is very extraordinary. But because we loved our Krishna so much, we followed, and then we were in real trouble. And then Mother Rohini was explaining how Indra took revenge, and how Krishna, with his little finger, effortlessly lifted the Govardhan hill and called all the Brajbasis to stay under the hill, and how Krishna manifested houses from jewels so that they could stay in those houses of jewels. And they also said, she also said how they wouldn't go into the houses of jewels because they felt so wonderful. And in this way, you know, she would tell all these wonderful, wonderful things of Vrindavan. Now, meanwhile, Subhadra Devi stood before the door, spreading her arms so that no one would come in the door, especially not Krishna and Balaram. But as she heard what was going inside, that Krishna did all these far-out pastimes, stealing butter and smearing it all over and so on, she became so ecstatic that her arms came into her body and her eyes became diluted. That means long. So while she was hearing yet another pastime, how Lord Krishna had gone with his flute on the tree and had stolen actually the cloth of the gopis, she was totally excited. And at that time, Krishna and Balaram came by. They saw their sister without hands, with long ears and eyes, and were totally Hare Krishna. They came closer, and then they heard how Mother Yashoda was, how Mother Rohini was laughing inside with uncontrollable ecstasy, and how the queens of Dwaraka, although they were very self-composed, were just lying on the floor, crying tears of loving devotion for their Krishna, who had just killed the terrible Arishtasura demon and was now engaging in the loving pastimes with the gopis. So they looked on their sister, and as they heard about this, you say, Braj Kahani talk, they also couldn't move any longer. The legs became in the body. Krishna's hands went just like this, and he got huge eyes, thinking how wonderful it is. Like, I don't know, when you tell someone something which is extremely wonderful, his eyes get big. Hare Krishna Shrishti Kala. His eyes get big, you can see. So, and he began to smile, remembering his Vrindavan pastimes. At this time, Narada Muni came by, and he looked at these forms. I forgot to say, Balaram was also influenced. He also became all white and had big eyes and big smile, you know. And Narada Muni saw this form, and he said, "Wait a minute, I have seen this form before. Jagannath, Baladev, and Subhadra Devi. I have seen them before." Then he remembered and remembered and remembered the most wonderful pastime which I am now going to tell you. Because today is Snan Yatra. Are you ready? But this is a very deep pastime. Yeah. When you hear this, you might also become ecstatic and forget the material world. Ram Gopal, ready? Narada Muni remembered how one day in Dwaraka, Hare Krishna, hast du gesehen, Mandali? Die Rehe? Super. One day, Krishna had fainted. Krishna was actually not able to get up. He was lying there totally senseless. Narada Muni remembered how at that time Uddhava and Balaram came by and discussed what should be done to bring the life back to Lord Krishna. Narada Muni remembered how both Balaram and Uddhava had diagnosed the reason for Lord Krishna's fainting condition, Ohnmacht. Balaram and Uddhava had said the reason why Lord Krishna is now senseless is because since quite some time he has been only talking about Vrindavan, and he has only been dreaming about Vrindavan, and now it was just too much. He felt so much separation from Braj that he has finally given up his normal life and is now in the fainting condition. So the only way to bring him back is, Narada Muni, you should take your veena and sing about the beautiful pastimes of Vrindavan, because then Krishna's heart will calm down, the aggravation of vata will go down, and then Lord Krishna will be able to live properly. This is the only thing which has to be done and should be done. Narada said, this is absolutely not a good idea. Because the moment Krishna wakes up and he is in this condition, he will want to go to Vrindavan and imagine the disaster which will happen when Krishna enters Braj. I have been in Braj, and I have seen the circumstances of the Brijbasis. The trees lose their leaves out of separation from Krishna. Yamunaji is white, not blue, out of separation from Krishna. The beloved Giriraj is sinking each day for one sesame seed of heights into the earth, out of separation. The Brijbasis are lying in the houses, in the forests, and everywhere in deep agony, crying, Krishna, Krishna. And Mother Yashoda's life is only hanging on a very thin thread. So if Krishna comes into this situation, he will suffer endless pain, and most probably the Brijbasis will die out of shock. Because if a hungry man who has been hungry for many, many, many months will get all of a sudden a feast, he will die. Do you know this? When you fast and then you eat, this is the whole problem in fasting. The fast problem is not in fasting, my dear devotees. That is not a problem at all. The problem is to start eating again. Only half a cup of a little soup in the beginning for many days. And you are hungry and you want to send an fax to Manjulali, please send your nougat and marzipan sweets immediately. This is a direct order. So, and it will kill you. So therefore Narada said, before I wake up Krishna from his swoon, let us send Uddhava to Vrindavan, who is the perfect messenger. He has gone already before. He is very intelligent. And he can prepare the Brijbasis that Krishna will soon come. And then I will start playing and singing. Uddhava must first go and prepare the Brijbasis. Uddhava hears this and his eyes go up. Oh, he said, this is absolutely not a good idea. Because I went once in the past on Krishna's request to Vrindavan, and I told the Brijbasis, don't cry for Krishna. Krishna is everywhere. He's in your heart. No need to cry. But then the Brijbasis looked at me as if I'm the greatest fool. They said, you talk like an inexperienced boy, Uddhava. We don't want Param Atma. We want our Krishna. You have no understanding? Something is wrong in your thinking? Then I was thinking, what should I tell them? Now, don't cry. I mean, normally when a man loses his wife, you go to him and say, this is a temporary relationship. We all meet, and then at one time we are separated, either by death or by quarrel. But should I tell the Brijbasis, it's natural that you are now separated from your Krishna like that? It's not natural, because we all have an eternal relationship to our Krishna. I can only tell them, you have lost the most valuable thing, cry more! And that is certainly not consolation or trost, no? So then what could I do? I told them and said, Krishna said he just has to kill a few more demons in the Mathura area, and then he will quickly return in 2 or 3 days. But Krishna didn't come. So if I now come back to Vrindavan and tell them, get ready, Krishna comes, they will just go, you are a liar like Krishna. You have said this once before, that he will come, but he has not come. Uddhavaji, just please go from Vrindavan. I cannot show my face before Nanda and Yashoda, said Uddhava, and fell silent and then started to cry. Then I mean, this was very intense. How to get Krishna back to life? I mean, if someone lies in a swoon, he will die. What to do now? They all turned towards Balaram. Narada Muni and Uddhava looked at Balaram and said, Balaram, you are the older brother of Krishna. You should help. You should go to Vrindavan and tell them, Lord Krishna will soon come. Then they will decorate everything. They will drink and eat again, like it should be. And then when Krishna comes, he will have a royal reception and everything will be wonderful. When Balaram heard this, he began to sigh. Then he started to cry. He said, my heart is cracking. I would have gone many, many times. I would have, if Krishna would have come. I always go to Krishna and said, Krishna, you have come to save your devotees. That's one of your missions. Why don't you go to Braj? There everyone is dying in your absence. And Krishna always said, I will go, I will go, I will go. But he never goes. Krishna usually follows everything I tell him, but he does not go to Vrindavan, although I have asked him many times to go. Once I went alone and I stayed there for 2 months. I saw all the Vrajabhasis. Their life had left them. It was clear to me that only if Krishna returns, they will get back their life. But then I told them, I will quickly go and bring your Krishna. But when I said to Krishna, described everything to Krishna, Krishna cried for the Brijbasis and said, I will go in 1 or 2 days. And he never went. So if I go now and say, Krishna will soon come, they will not believe me, because I said it before and Krishna did not come. At that time, Subhadra came by. Subhadra, very intelligent, Yogamaya, she brings the living entities together with their Lord. And when the Narada Muni, Balaram, Uddhava saw her coming, a beautiful lady, sister of Krishna, a ray of hope entered the heart. Subhadra immediately looked at her brother Krishna, looked at Balaram, and only said one word. Braj Viraha means separation from Vrindavan. Balaram nodded his head. And he told her, the only way to bring Krishna out of this swoon is if Narada Muni sings some songs about Vrindavan, then Krishna will jump up. Already Subhadra waved down and said, I understand. We need to prepare the Brijbasis so that Krishna doesn't see his dying relatives. She said, so Subhadra said, okay, don't think anything any longer. I will personally go. I am a woman. I will go to Yashoda. I will sit on the lap of Yashoda. I will take my own zari and wipe her tears out of her eyes and said, Yashoda ji. And she will say, oh, someone is sitting on my lap. I will say, I'm Subhadra, Krishna's sister. Yashoda ji will be electrified. And I say, now do not delay any further. Your kanai is on his way back to Braj, and you must now get up and arrange a grand welcome ceremony. Subhadra said, and I will divert everyone's attention from their lamentation. They will establish a gopuram. Gopuram means like gate of welcome. Dobrodošli Krishna. Welcome Krishna. And Yashoda will believe me because I'm a woman and she is a woman. And women talk very honestly amongst themselves. But when men talk to women, usually the men are a little motivated or crooked. I'm very straightforward. It will work. So I will make them all busy, and then Krishna will come in the midst of this busyness, and it will be wonderful for him and the Brajbasis. Now, everyone clap. So, Bhadra, you came just sent by the Lord to save the whole situation. Then Balaram thought a little. He's the older brother, and he loves his sister very much. And he said, Subhadra, why should you go alone? I will go with you and protect you on the way. I will go in the front chariot, and you come. I will clear your way. I will be your forehood, your, I don't know how to say in English, your before man. I will go with my sister. And he said, immediately three chariots should be made. One for Subhadra, one for me, and one very nice chariot should be made ready for Lord Krishna when he gets up, when Narada Muni sings. This chariot of Lord Krishna should have fans, mirrors, little bells, so that it makes some nice song while it rides. So then Balaram got on his chariot, heading the way to protect his little sister Subhadra. Subhadra went right after this. When they had gone for some time, then Narada Muni took his veena and he began to sing. Let us go to the temple of Nanda Baba. And you know this Brijbasi songs, simple ecstatic songs, you know, and down at the Yamuna and other such classics. He began to sing, and immediately, when Krishna heard it, he jumped up. He said, "Where is my flute?" And started to look. "Oh, who has stolen my flute? These gopis." And he became mad. I will go to them and get my flute back." And he began to run like an ecstatic madman, thinking where to go first, to which gopi first. Then he saw Narada Muni and Uddhava and said, "Hey, what are you doing here? You're not in Vrindavan." And he just started to remember that he is also not in Vrindavan. But before he could remember that he is in Dwaraka, Narada said, my lord, we have just prepared a chariot for you. We will now go to Vrindavan. It is ready." And he called, "Daruka! Daruka!" Daruka came running. "My lord, your chariot is just ready. The best horses are there. We will now go. Sit on your chariot." And the chariot of Lord Krishna followed Balaram's and Subhadra's chariot. Now, they drove speedily like the wind. Now let us go to the first two chariots. What exactly happened when Balaram and Subhadra Devi arrived in Braj? Can you remember, or can you imagine what happens to someone who arrives in Vrindavan? I will help you, because obviously you have a long day behind you, and I had prepared this lecture, so I'm in that. There is one passage in the Bhagavatam describing what happened to Akrura when he went to Vrindavan. He saw the bulls. He saw the beautiful Vrindavan atmosphere, and he was immediately inspired very deeply in Krishna consciousness. He also saw the footprints of Lord Krishna on the ground, and do you remember what he did? He threw himself on the ground. This also, any pilgrim, rasa mutitu, verpasst den besten Teil, das geht gleich unglaublich los. Any pilgrim who comes to Vrindavan if he wishes to enter the Vrindavan, will have to immediately throw himself or herself on the ground in the dust of Vrindavan. This is a very highly important. If you enter the Vrindavan area and you don't come in a humble state of mind, you will only enter Uttar Pradesh, a place in northern India. If you wish to enter Braj, you must get down and lay yourself in the dust and spread the dust all over you. It's a rule. It's a must. It's the ticket to Braj. This humble state of mind is totally necessary. If Krishna loves you and you don't do it, he will throw your riksha down that you fall on the ground. But that then you have a lot of good fortune. Better, yeah, it's good to do it. Don't be so proud, also Western infected. So, as soon as Balaram and Subhadra Devi, and this begins now, a big problem will begin now, entered the Vrindavan area, they became so ecstatic. Now in spiritual psychology, whatever is your mind will become your body. In other words, they became so ecstatic inside that also outside they totally changed. Balaram got long eyes, his I must ask, his arms. Hat Balaram Arme? Die sind auch drin im Body, oder? Hat, ach doch, hat schon. Balarams arms changed, but his hands went into the arms. His feet disappeared. And Subhadra Devi's arms, because women are more excited than men normally, more, they have a much better emotional life, went, and she had long ears, and she couldn't go to Yashoda. Balaram could not inform the bridge Basis. They were just standing like this in total ecstasy. In other words, mission failed. You follow? So at that time, Srimati Radharani was lying in Nidhuvan. Srimati Radharani's condition was very serious. She was in a dying condition. She had placed her head on Lalita's lap. Her breath was going very, very slowly. Vishakha was there. She had taken a cotton swab, bamboo bushel, to try to see if there was at all any breathing. But the hairs were just, I mean, you had to be a detective to see the hairs moving. Srimati Radharani's beauty was unexcelled. There was a wonderful light around her, but all of Braj was in complete anxieties because the Ashtasakis, her eight servants, could not think what to do, how to bring life back to Radharani. And imagine if Srimati Radharani would leave her body, then all of Braj would be finished because she is Vrindavaneshwari. So they helplessly did some Naam Kirtan of Krishna's name, but the name somehow did not go through the swoon of Radharani and enter her heart, which was very, very unusual. She was really at the bar, at her last. At that time, the so-called husband of Radharani, Abhimanyu, came and very respectfully took the dust from Radharani's lotus feet. And he said, "O worshipable Radhe, I never touched your body. Today I have obtained a great fortune because I could get some dust from your lotus feet. My life is now successful. All the Brajvasis know that I am only the pujari of Katyayani, and my worshipable deity is Purnamasi. Radhe, in order to relish the Parakiya Rasa, Krishna has manifested the Leela with you. And to nourish this Leela, Purnamasi inspired Brinda Devi to arrange my marriage with you. But I cannot be your husband. Krishna is eternally your husband. I cannot be your husband. Krishna is eternally your husband. I cannot be your husband. Whom did I marry? I married only the shadow of you. That's in Sanskrit we say Chaya Radhe. Just like Ravan took only the shadow of Mother Sita, not the real Sita. How can Ravan touch the body of the real Sita? Abhimanyu had the shadow of Radharani. Sometimes they say, the Gaudiyas say also, Abhimanyu is a shadow of Krishna. Hare Krishna. At that time, Kutila arrived. Who knows who's Kutila? Excuse me, please. Jatila's daughter and the sister of Abhimanyu. She had always tried to give troubles for Radha and Krishna's meetings because she thought, my brother should have a chaste wife. Kutila, I mean, every Vajpasi who hears Kutila and Yatila, he goes like, oh, too much, you know. Now Kutila came to Niduvan, where Radharani was lying, and took the dust of Shrimati's lotus feet and said, O Radhe, today I am extremely fortunate. Now I had the opportunity to take your dust, the dust of the most chaste wife of Braj. I always was proud to be the most chaste and tried to prove that you are unchaste, but you are worshipable. You are the most chaste. And then Kutila talked about that Leela, how Krishna once took on a fever by his own Icha Shakti, his own desire, and how he said, I can only be cured if water is brought to me, which has been carried by the most chaste woman of Braj. And Krishna said, the way we find out who is the most chaste woman of Braj is very simple. We take a pot with 1,000 holes, and she who can get water from the Yamuna with this pot with 1,000 holes and carry the water on her head without even losing one drop is the most chaste woman in Braj. At that time, I had thought, well, I'm certainly, I get no one, I'm so ugly, I'm certainly very chaste. I had taken the test, the water went, the pot went on my head, and when it was on the head, it all gave me a shower. Then Radharani came, said, for my Krishna, I will carry the water from the Yamuna. And when she took the pot with 1,000 holes, all the water stayed in the pot. You are the most chaste. At that time, Chandravali came, who was acting as the rival of Radharani, and washed with her tears, with her loving tears, the lotus feet of Radhe. She said, O Radhe, I am Kalankini. Means full of faults. Krishna is your Pran Valabha. the darling of your life, not mine. In order to nourish your relationship with Krishna, I had a so-called relationship with Krishna. Krishna sometimes left you. And then you were so distressed that you cried and cried for Krishna. At that time Krishna went to me. But Krishna was only thinking of you. From no one except for you, he derives even a dust of satisfaction. By Yoga Maya's trick, we are all engaged in Krishna's Leela. Even the dust. Some of us are playing favorable roles in the Leela, and others unfavorable roles. If you die, Radhe, what will happen in Braj? All of us will die, and Krishna will never come here again. So, now in the meantime, Krishna's chariot actually arrived in Vrindavan. He had actually made it. The moment Krishna saw his beloved Braj, he jumped out of the chariot without even waiting so much as for the stopping of the chariot. And the moment he touched the Vrindavan dust, he was full of ecstasy. He began to shout, Radhe, Radhe, Dehi Parapalava Mudaram. Give me the dust of your lotus feet also. Why everyone else except for me? And he was running towards Nidovan. And now when he arrived and saw Srimati Radharani in her dying condition, Krishna's hands and legs were pushed into his body. His eyes became big. But he looked at Radharani with the eyes of separation. Remember, that's all what Krishna wants, to go back to Radharani in Vrindavan. He looked at Radharani. He couldn't move any longer. He couldn't overcome the last distance of a few meters. Now he was stunned, pinned to the ground, not by Sudama. Sudama would sometimes wrestle with him. It's like, pin him to the ground. Then Krishna would always get up again. But this time he was pinned to the ground by an inexplicable mood of meeting Radharani but still feeling separated from him, from her. You know, he couldn't come. She and he was... Krishna was drowning in an ocean of Radha Bhava. Yeah. No meeting. Ever separated the divine couple? Is that the end of our story? No. One particularly clever breeze came, who had only one desire, to serve Krishna in this moment. The breeze came, and the breeze was thinking what to do. Then it had the idea. The breeze circumambulated Krishna, took the fragrance of Lord Krishna's beautiful body, who was totally in ecstasy, couldn't move, and brought the fragrance of Krishna's body, den Duft von Krishna's Körper, to the nostrils of Srimati Radharani. Now it gets very interesting. This fragrance acted like the herb called Mrityu Samjivani. That means a herb which raises a person from death. Lalita began to chant very softly, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Very softly. And Radharani slowly, slowly, slowly came out of the deep ocean of Swoonmacht. And slowly the breathing was increasing, and the Ashtashakis were, Ah, oh, Krishna, Krishna, please. At that time, she opened her eyes, then closed her eyes again. She didn't think it was true, but Vishakha said, Radhe, Krishna has come. She again opened her eyes and saw Krishna with big eyes, without any hands. How does Krishna look like this? Totally, totally wild. Her pran valaba. And so on. So Radharani is very intelligent. He said, Vishakha, Vishakha, please take care of our Krishna. He should become normal again. Vishakha knew the medicine for Krishna. She went to Krishna, really looked at her. She had never seen Krishna like this. And said, Radhe, Radhe, Radharani, Vrishabhanu Nandini Kano Mano Mohini. She's, in other words, different names of Radharani. And when Krishna heard this, he got back his consciousness and opened his eyes, you know, somehow saw with his eyes. Apparently he couldn't see with the eyes very well. He was just, you know, looking but not seeing. And then that divine couple had the meeting again. The first meeting of the divine couple is here, a meeting in the corner of the eyes. If you study Krishna Bhavanamrita, you will find out that each morning when Lord Krishna leaves Braj, Radharani is there, and then Krishna looks from the corner of the eyes, and Radharani looks from her corner of the eyes, and then they meet just very secretly and very confidentially, so that divine couple were moving with the eyes. So, yeah, this was the meeting, but I will not stop here. The next morning, Krishna and Srimati Radharani were waking up. Morning had arrived, the cuckoos were there, cuckoo, cuckoo, cuckoo. Shyamasunda has his flute. Srimati Radharani has her blue sari. And Lalita put on a five, it's called Pancha Pradeep, a five lamp with five givics, and started to offer a Mangal Arati to the divine couple. Vishakha plays the Madanga, and the Sakis sing that after this long period of separation, there was a union. Krishna looks at the lotus face of Srimati Radharani, and from the corners of her eyes, his eyes, arrows start to come, which pierce her with the force of Cupid. He is very, very satisfied to look at the sweetness of Radharani's faith which is more sweeter than the sweetest honey, and then tells her something which I find is so wonderful that I will now look if you are all awake, because no, everyone should hear this nectar. Here, this moment, everyone is. He says something which I really want you to hear and understand. In Vidakta Madhava at the end, the same truth is explained. This truth will give happiness to your heart and will give solace to your heart. He says, in truth there is never a separation between us. Only to raise your loving independent mood, Vamyabha, I create a situation as if we are separated, but we are always together. Your love is like an unlimited ocean, and I wish to just drown in that ocean of your love. To do this, I will appear in my form as Jagannath in Puri and constantly drown in Radha Prema's ocean. You must know that in the kingdom of love, there are always two features, union and separation. But this separation is never a separation like the separation which we conditioned souls experience from Krishna, where we have forgotten Krishna and we feel cut from our relationship from Krishna. This type of separation is not existent in the spiritual domain, in the kingdom of love. There, the viraha is only one aspect of the river of love. To give you an example, please try, please let us look at a river. A river has a left side and a right side. Huh? In the same way, the river of love of Krishna consciousness has the bank of separation and the bank of union. Left is separation, right is union. Hare Krishna. So, to experience that love, Lord Jagannath apparently, or Krishna apparently goes to Puri, which is separated from Vrindavan, which is in a different location, which is representing in some ways Dwaraka, but he is swimming there in the ocean of wanting Radharani as Jagannath. And he comes in yet another form. Now you need to think a little deeply. He comes himself as Krishna in the mood of Radharani, who always is drowning in the ocean of separation from Krishna. So these two forms, Krishna wanting to drown in the ocean of Radha's love, and Krishna coming as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with the mood of Radharani, who wants to experience the Krishna Rasa. This is happening in Vipralamba Chetra, that place where there is great desire for Krishna. I want to request you to quickly in your mind go to our to Puri Puri is the place which is really extraordinary. It's a place of deep, 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 deep hankering for Krishna. And I have written somewhere in these notes a very nice verse which I want to chant for you, if we can find this. It's the verse which the queens in Dwaraka chant about the ocean. I'm too excited. I don't think I will find it now. Yeah, but it doesn't matter. When you are in Puri, you are close to the ocean, and the ocean waves always go to the ground, to the beach. That time you can enter a very nice meditation. The meditation with which the Bhagavatam ends. It's the queens asking the ocean, "Oh ocean, you cannot sleep? You always make noise in the night? Are you like us who also cannot sleep? Because we are always desiring for our dear Lord Krishna." This is a very secret mood in Vrindavan and in Puri, the desire for Krishna. And I, today, on the appearance day of Lord Jagannath, we know now why this form. The form was born when Krishna heard about Vrindavan, and this form was also going to Vrindavan once, or it appeared in Vrindavan not exactly Lord Jagannath was in Vrindavan. It was more an ecstatic form of the Lord who said, I will appear in Puri like this. So it's a very nice time. We come into this Ratha Yatra festival. I'm reading every day now something about the Ratha Yatra festival from Chaitanya Charitamrita. I know that the Goloka Dhammis are extremely eager readers. And please, this is a good time to read the Chaitanya Charitamrita about Ratha Yatra. We will also have this feeling festival in Köln. We might like to make plans how to go to Köln in July, and you can enjoy this very feeling festival. We will be right before the Kölner Dom, and I will speak before the Kölner Dom about interreligious life. I'm preparing already my little lecture for the Cologne people. There will be a lot of press, and we want to also get radio and TV and so on, that Germany can get the darshan of the beautiful form of Lord Jagannath. Then there's some hope. I have heard this subject from Gaur Govinda Maharaj on a tape in Novi Sad, that's in Serbia, and I decided to just speak about this at some proper time, and I hope it was relishable and you were enjoying Lord Jagannath's ecstatic pastimes. I feel it is now a little late, but maybe there are one or two questions. The question is, if Krishna really is only in, never leaves Vrindavan, and only the Vasudev Krishna leaves Vrindavan, why do the inhabitants of Braj suffer so much from the absence of Lord Krishna? Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is answering this question with 2 points. One point is, when Krishna had delivered Kamsa in Mathura, he sent his father Nanda Maharaj back to Vrindavan. And he said, you please go already. I will come in 3 or 4 days when I have killed some more demons. I will come. Please go. And Nanda Maharaj went back. Now at that time, one form of Lord Krishna stayed in Mathura, and another form of Lord Krishna went with Nanda Maharaj, because he would not have gone without Krishna. It would not have been possible. Now you ask the question, yes, okay, but my question was different. I didn't want to hear about this. I wanted to hear, why do they suffer so much separation? Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur answers this question by saying that this separation is only an apparent separation. It looks like this for our eyes. And he says, if a truly rich man wishes to show the value of his gold, he will place his gold into hot fire. Because when it is truly good gold, the gold will take a very brilliant form. In the same way, Krishna places, who wants to prove the extraordinary love of his devotees, places his devotees in an apparent fire of separation. Hare Krishna. Amazing, isn't it? In other words, they are together with Krishna in a different way. And their suffering is only a loving suffering. I always understand it like this, but I'm very shy to repeat this example which I've once heard. I don't think you will appreciate this example. I have to find another one. Yeah, there are some situations which we as conditioned souls know where an apparent suffering is the greatest enjoyment from one side. I can only think of this example. For instance, a heavy body man is lying on a very fragile lady, but she is thinking, no problem of weight, it's very enjoyable. So in the same way, this separation between Radha and Krishna, or the inhabitants of Vrindavan or of Krishna, is only something which Krishna has orchestrated for the world to see what is love. It is a very, very wonderful thing. Oh, here is an example. You have heard about the Phalgu River. Phalgu River is it looks like sand, but underneath the sand there is a nice fresh river with water flowing. That's in India. So it looks like there is no water, but the water is flying under the ground. So devotees pray to Lord Krishna, if I should choose between being together with you and being separated from you, I would like to be separated from you. Because if I'm together with you, there's only one Krishna. But if I'm separated from you, the love is so strong that I will see Krishna from every corner of the universe coming. You, Manjulali, you look at me with, yes, I can't. You must understand that separation is not the separation which we have. You could maybe you should maybe use translated in your words as togetherness in separation. Then you have the right word. This togetherness is happening on the level of bhava. Bhava means mood. And Manjulali, if you really look very critical into your, very analytical in your life, what really, really, really counts is the bhava, the feeling. You can be in the best external circumstances with loving people around you, but you have no relationship, no bhava. But you can be separated from your dear near ones, but you have much fonder experiences with them. I always experience this with my friends. My friends are most properly much more busy than I am. And when I meet them, finally after 1 year of separation, they are so busy and we don't find any time to sit, only maybe from 11 o'clock in the night to 5 o'clock in the morning when no one is around and so on. And then I'm usually very tired because I'm a very ordinary person. And what did you say? Oh, I said this. and so on. And then I'm thinking, sometimes I like to be with, when I'm with my friends and thinking of them and writing them a letter and hearing their lectures and reading their letters, I feel much more connected with them. I have seen this with one or two friends. We can experience this in this world. Also, as a preacher, I see the real reality for a person is the feelings. I can convince someone with my arguments, but he feels something else, and then he will do ultimately not what he understands he should be doing differently. He will do what he feels. We have always seen this. The real reality is taking place in the world of feelings. Preachers have seen this. So this is Krishna consciousness is a different world. It's the world of bhava. Krishna bhavanamrita, it is said. The world of bhava, the world of feelings. When there is no feeling, there is no Krishna consciousness. Sometimes people are together and they quarrel. Then there is not such a connection. Sometimes they are not together, they are thinking of each other and there is a deep, deep, deep connection. This happens to friends. Okay, so Sharanandi. Okay, I will answer briefly. Siamala, könntest du noch, du bist nicht in Aufbruchseile? Gut, ich wollte dir noch kurz was sagen. Ja, yes, there is a purport of Bhaktivinoda, of Vishwana Chakravarti Thakur, who says like this. I want to repeat it for you that you can, especially also those who listen to it, tapes and this wonderful MP3, which spreads like wildfire. A question was raised by Sadanandi that we usually hear always think of Krishna and never forget him. But Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains this point by saying to always think of Krishna means to think daily of Krishna. It means once a daily of Krishna. It doesn't mean to think every second Krishna this, Krishna that, Krishna this, Krishna that. Because someone who would do so could not do all the other things which he does in this world. It would be impractical in some ways. The way I understand it is, if a devotee deeply thinks of Krishna, he enters the mood of Krishna consciousness. And when he is in the mood of Krishna consciousness, he will do so many things with that underlying mood. For instance, you can think of maybe a family father who is far away from his beloved wife and son. When I was in the Himalaya mountains and went to Muktinath, I saw many houses only with ladies, but no men were there. And I was asking the ladies, where is your husband? And with the dolmetscher. And they said, her husband is in Delhi, work and works. Then I heard from others that these Nepali husbands who live in these snowy areas cannot raise enough money from the local Wertschöpfung, from the local area, and therefore go to work in Delhi, and they really live a simple life. They only eat 10 to 15 chickpeas per meal, and you know, really they live with someone else and have just a corner in one apartment and so on. And they do this all so that, oh, my father, my son should get milk. He should drink milk every day, and my wife also. So the reason why they are in Delhi is purely for the benefit of their family. They may not think every moment of their son drinking milk and their wife getting enough warm clothes and so on. But because the mood is there, I'm only doing this for them, therefore, yes, they are connected in some ways. So in Krishna consciousness, we want to create such a mood of love for Krishna, and we do this because of, we want to do this in our sadhan time, when we chant and think of Krishna lovingly and affectionately, as we heard the other day, and we read about Krishna and so on. So we think once a day, but then we are in that mood, so to say, of doing Slujba means service for Krishna. And in this way we are also with Krishna, although we are maybe not thinking on different leelas or different qualities of Lord Krishna. In this world, in the Naimittika leela, yes. Yes, there's a very good question of Alicia. Are these leelas like the one which we have just heard happening as an eternal leela in the spiritual world, or do they happen in this world? There are two types of leelas, really. They have also two names. Naimittika leela is an occasional leela, like for instance Krishna's birth. It happens here in this world. And Krishna's growing, killing demons also. And then they also happen, these leelas happen in this world. And then there is what is called Nitya leela, an eternal leela, which happens only in the spiritual world. And there is no birth of Krishna. There are no pastimes in reference to to killing demons. They can't go there in the spiritual world. There are, I don't know, guards with tridents. You know, this is an unpassable barrier is there. So what is about these lilas of union and separation? They are happening in the spiritual world as far as I know. But again, you see, this is now Alicia has come from a different perspective. But how can there be separation between Radha and Krishna in the spiritual world? So this brings us to Manjulali's question. It must be not a separation like the one which we have in this world. It's just another variety of taste, you know, another, like a spice, so to say. But no, it's described, the pastimes of Radha and Krishna are happening between union and separation. It's like the movement of a snake. Sometimes left, right, left, right, left, right. But it's not a separation like we feel in this world. You must qualify to go there. Or you must purify your consciousness that you very easily understand it. It's not difficult. But the consciousness must have a certain vibration of then it's easy to understand. One thing you must understand, Krishna consciousness, you cannot understand by just gathering informations. Krishna consciousness, you can understand by love only. Don't become deceived and think you can understand Krishna or anything in spiritual life by gathering information and studying. You can understand by love only. This is explained in our scriptures very often. I would like to give you an example. You really know about a person if you love them. Also on this level, therefore sometimes Grihastha life it's sweet and it is sour. It's sweet because you allow yourself to enter the experience of love and then you get to know the person really. There are secrets which only can be known by love, not in any other way. And of course, when there is love, then everything about the other person is just wonderful and delightful. Love can forgive, love can is long living, love is like an ocean, it can swallow everything, and so on. So this is the very true in relationship, is especially true in relationship to Krishna. Especially I find it true in relationship to Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, you can only enter the secret of the most merciful incarnation of Lord through love, which includes service. Without service, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will remain a secret for you forever. So therefore, this is not an information gathering thing when you want to know the deeper knowledge about Krishna. It happens on the love. It's a beautiful point, isn't it? It's a very beautiful point. I think it's a wonderful point. It's a very wonderful point. You know, there came a time in my life when I thought, oh no, there's this Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu who has so many or nectar of devotion, vibhava, anubhava, udipan. I mean, all this, every language, and I don't know nothing of this. And then there is this other book from Rupa Goswami. After all, Rupa Goswami, we have to study. We are Rupa Nuga Vaishnavas, and then Ujvala Nilamoni, and this. There are so many groups of gopis and gopas. How will I ever understand? I will never go back to the spiritual world. But love will teach you. Love knows everything. I always like to give the example, you know, from this world, so that we can understand. There are so many books about love, you know, and also, I don't know if you, wer von euch ist so, I don't even want to ask because it's so embarrassing. Some of us went to a school of good behavior. In Germany, it's a Tanzschule. It's the most idiotic school you can imagine. I'm sorry. It's, you know, how to behave. And when there's a noble woman, how to... It's out of fashion now. Now I think there are other things, you know, Handkuss und Knicks. Was muss ich? Diener muss ich lernen. Diener und dann Walzer habe ich gelernt. Tango. Walzer, Tango. Knicke, alles über Knicke, diesen unmöglichen Verhaltensduden. Oh, Krishna. Anyways, whenever I think of school, I panic. If it's a dance school or ordinary gymnasium, I immediately get Zustände. And so on. Anyways, you know, and they want to prepare. In our I lived on an island, Fehmarn, and they wanted to prepare the farmers' boys so that they could really have a good interchange with the opposite sex, you know, with women, and not be so clumsy, and, you know, do everything nicely, and not pass air when they would say guten Tag, and, you know, and all these things, you know, so that they would get a woman also later and marry and of a good class woman, and so on. But if someone loves, he doesn't need to go to a school like this. It will, love will teach him everything. Therefore, in the spiritual dimension, we say, Bhagavan, Krishna, one moment. Yes, the love will make the Lord dance. Love will make the bhakta dance, and love will make love dance. So all the three dance together. Krishna, the devotee, and love of Godhead in a very nice symphony of love. And that will teach. In Madhurya Kadambini, it even says that the state before love, this ruchi, taste, is like a dance instructress. How does one in English? A female instructor on dance. This example is given in Madhurya Kadambini. Even the ruchi, what to speak of bhava or prema, where even the ruchi, the taste, will teach you so that you don't make any mistakes. Okay, so now it's 10 minutes to 10. It is proper that we talk. Proper is not the word, but I would like to close here. I want to thank you very much for coming to this wonderful class. I mean, not wonderful. I wanted to say this wonderful subject matter of Lord Jagannath. This was in my mind. I'm obviously getting tired and say very unacceptable things. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Gaur Nitai ki jai, Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bo, Lord Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Devi ki jai.